May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 362. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, "Come, let us seek our God today." Yes, with a cheerful zeal we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honours pay. Hymn 362. Our reading this morning is from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 53 and 54. From the Holy Word of God, Isaiah chapters 53 and 54. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee now to indite in our heart that breath of real prayer. Or we would praise thy holy name for thy goodness and thy mercy to us, and that thou hast spared us to see the dawn of thy holy day. And, O Lord, as we are favoured with the sunshine in the earth. Oh, may we be favoured in our souls this day with the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. Lord, we pray that we may be in the Spirit as John of old was on the Lord's day, and that thy Spirit, dear Lord, may rule our spirit, and that we may have the mind and the Spirit of Christ. Oh, we pray to be emptied of ourselves, emptied of this world, emptied of all things that are grieving to thee, and may we be filled with thy blessed Spirit. For thou hast said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And O Lord, we need that liberty in our souls. Only thou canst free us from the bondage of sin and of unbelief, and all the power and grip of Satan. And oh, may we be favoured with that sweet liberty now at the throne of grace. We may pour out our hearts before thee, both in secret and in public. Oh, may we know that sweet liberty in the preaching of thy word, that thy word may have free course and be glorified. There may be the blessed application of thy word in each of our souls. Thy word may be made life and power to us, that we may feed thereon and grow. And O Lord, we would come pleading the precious name of Jesus, a name that prevails above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, both of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. But oh, as we bow before thee, we bow as sinners, Lord, with nothing to bring of ourselves. Our very best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. But oh, we would come in humble confession, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. We may be cleansed from all sin and from all uncleanness. No, may it please thee to seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick sinner this day. We might each know our pardon signed, our peace procured. No, may the sweet peace of Calvary fill our souls. Oh, we seek, dear Lord, for grace, we might endure to the end. We pray for those fresh supplies of grace, that we might persevere, that we may continue in that narrow way. Knowest, O Lord, the powers of Satan and the many suggestions that buffet thy dear people. Knowest how real the adversary is and how strong, Lord. But oh, we pray that thou wilt come and cast him out and help thy dear people in all their need. Remember those in affliction, Lord. Oh, if it would please thee, do send that needed healing. But if it's thy will that affliction should abound, we would seek for grace to bear it. Lord, do make each bed in each affliction. Do remember those, Lord, that are bereaved. Think of many who have lost their loved ones in the past few weeks. Pray thou wilt sanctify these losses. The death of one and another be the means in thy hand of calling many by grace. May that sweet comfort of heaven be given to each of thy dear, sorrowing, bereaved people. We pray, Lord, thou wilt prepare each of us for that great day. We know not what a day or an hour or a moment to bring forth. May we be ready, waiting for thy coming. May we have that real religion, Lord, that is given to thy people. May we not just be satisfied with our chapel going, but oh, may we be assured from heaven that it is well with us, while life endureth, well when called to die. O Lord, may the solemn issues of eternity be a tremendous sound to us each. And oh, the great need to be ready, waiting for thy coming. We remember the dear children, dear Lord, the little ones, and each of the young and rising race. And pray thou wilt keep them and preserve them, watch over them in their early days. May there be placed in their heart by thee thy tender filial fear, a desire to seek thee and to serve thee. May they be weaned from this world, brought to desire in their early days a better country, that is, an heavenly. May the prayers of the dear parents be heard and answered, and may there be raised up a seed to serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Remember the dear young people, to help them, Lord, to look to thee in all things, to cast their cares upon thee. Be with those in relationships, Lord, we pray thy smile and approbation may rest upon them. Lord, we pray that thou wilt supply their every need, both in providence and in grace. Do provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives. Lord, do undertake for each one that's in need. Grant, Lord, those that feel to walk a lonely pathway, and those that have to walk through strange and mysterious things, may these things, Lord, be overruled and sanctified by thee, and that there may be much divine teaching and blessing in it, and they may at the appointed time say, My Jesus hath done all things well. O Lord, who help the deacons here and bless them and grant them that needed help and strength and grace in all things. And who bless the hymns they give out. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. We pray Thou would increase the church with godly souls. There may be yet others constrained to take up their cross and to follow Thee. May there be those made willing, Lord, in the day of Thy power. They may say, Come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. May Zion be blessed abundantly, Lord, in these days of much sorrow and many disappointments, Lord. We beg of thee to revive thy work and quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Oh, do bring back the prodigals, Lord, many over the years have forsaken thy ways and so forsaken thy courts. We beg that there may be yet a blessed returning and that there may be yet seen the wonders God alone can do. Especially help those that are in trouble and many things to perplex them. We pray they would undertake and manage all for them by the way and to the end. Remember thy dear servants and grant them gracious help this day. We pray for our own flock. Thy servant, as he goes among them for the first time, may it be thy appointment, and may you feel that anointing and liberty, Lord, and may the souls of thy people be blessed, and may Zion be revived, and thy servants graciously encouraged, that they labour not in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. Oh, we pray for our guilty nation, that Thou would have mercy upon us. May Thy fear and grace be put in our leaders yet, they might turn to Thee for that needed grace and help to rule this land. And may this nation once again be a land that fears Thee and that trembles before the Ark of God. Overturn and overturn all the workers of iniquity, the evil and violent men. And may we yet see Thy hand appearing, Lord, making bare Thine arm in all the affairs of this nation, and may we yet see thy hand working wondrously. Hear the cries and the groans and sighs of thy dear people over the abominations done in the land. And bless our Queen and the royal household with thy grace and thy fear. And do in mercy, Lord, appear for those in war-torn lands and those that are persecuted and oppressed. We beg of Thee to work for them and in them and deliver them from all the oppression. And we would praise Thee for all Thy great mercies, both in providence and in grace. For the bountiful harvest, We would seek for a heart to praise thy holy name for all the riches of thy grace and thy great mercies to us, unworthy as we are. To anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for strength for this hour, and that thou wilt give us that voice to speak and the hearing ear to thy dear people, and help us to love and praise thee more. Make up in giving where we fail in asking, and blot out all our many, many sins. We would ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1019. Oh, that my load of sin were gone. Oh, that I could at last submit at Jesus' feet to lay it down, to lay my soul at Jesus' feet. Hymn 1019.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Isaiah chapter 54 and the 10th verse. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. The dear prophet Isaiah was wonderfully anointed of God and sent to declare to his dear people heavenly comfort throughout this chapter, because the Church of God here in Isaiah's day had been in a time of much barrenness. And the chapter begins, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear." And really, you know, as we look at the solemn day in which our lot is cast, there is much barrenness in several ways, isn't there? There seems much barrenness as we look in the nation when it comes to the vital things of God. Very few of our leaders and rulers desire to look to the Lord and to seek his face. We look in Zion, and really, in many of our chapels, there's much barrenness, isn't there? Many empty seats. Few evidences of the Lord's work. Well, so it was in Isaiah's day. But then come right home to each of our souls and our lives. You know, if we're honest before God, there's much barrenness, isn't there? How often we look within our hearts and see the barrenness there is there. But the wonderful mercy was here in Isaiah's day that the Lord had all power to turn that barrenness into a time of fruitfulness and of joy. And there may be one here where the Lord has laid this upon me that's walking in some way, and there are many ways we could further look at it, of barrenness. Well, we cannot alter it, can we? Not in and of ourselves. But that doesn't mean to say we've got to sit back and say, well, the Lord has permitted it. It should really exercise us. Firstly, concerning our own souls, why this barrenness has come. And then too, when we think of Zion, the barrenness there is there, does that exercise us? And then we think of the lack of godliness and of grace in our nation does that exercise. Really, it will cause the exercised child of God many errands to the throne of grace, that the Lord would turn that barrenness into joy and fruitfulness and singing. Well, here the Lord had sent the prophet with this wonderful message to them, and sing, O barren. Now, notice who it was addressed to. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. And you see, if you read right through the chapter, the Lord was giving his dear people in this path they were walking in of barrenness, sweet encouragement. The Lord was going to turn it into joy. And you see, he had all power to do it. And may we be given a grain of faith as we venture into this today to believe the Lord will yet turn the captivity of Zion as them that dream. You read that 126th psalm, the beautiful language, isn't it? Where the Lord turned the captivity of Zion. Well, of course, there's a reason for barrenness. It's often because of our sin, isn't it? The children of Israel, as they travelled through the wilderness, they came into times of great barrenness. And why was it? Because of their sin and how they forgot the Lord, wandered from his ways, departed from the truth. You see, there's a cause. We read concerning David when he went up to fight Goliath, and you remember Eliab and questioned him why he was there. And what did he say? Is there not a cause? And may we lay to heart this morning the cause of this barrenness, whether it be in our hearts, in the churches, or in the nation, or maybe in your path and mine. And may it exercise us well before the God of heaven. I say this in introducing the subject because there was a reason why the Lord was to turn this. The first reason was because of his everlasting, eternal love toward his dear people. And oh, what a mercy it is that his love is everlasting love. And something that's everlasting will never cease. And may that be of sweet comfort to you. You see, the Lord was manifesting here through the dear prophet his love to these dear people that were in this barren state. May the Lord whisper to your heart and to mine this morning what he did to dear Jeremiah. You'd be the happiest soul in Swavesey Chapel, wouldn't you, if the Lord told you it. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The second reason why the Lord was pleased to give the Church of God this sweet encouragement here was in what we read in the chapter previous, and that's why we read chapter 53. Because the dear prophet was to so declare to them the glorious coming of the dear Redeemer. And you know, chapter 53 speaks so blessedly, doesn't it, of the dear Lord Jesus, his glorious coming, what he was to suffer and to endure to redeem his bride, his church, from eternal destruction. And as the dear prophet sets before them the sufferings and agonies, and I speak it with much reverence of the dear Redeemer, he was setting before them, that was their only hope. The day was going to come when the precious Son of God, the dear Lord Jesus, was to descend from heaven and come into this earth. And the hope of the bride of Christ, his church here, was all to be found in the finished work of the dear Lord Jesus. So he sets the dear Redeemer before them, one that was able to turn their barrenness into joy. And oh, you think, if I may just tarry a moment upon it, the joy there was in the heart of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon and Anna, just to name a few of them, when Christ was born. All their hope, all their salvation was in the dear Redeemer. But what about you and me? Where's your hope? Where's mine today? In all your barrenness, is it not in the precious Saviour himself, who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And then through this chapter we find those blessed encouragements. He says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. Beautiful word of encouragement. There was going to be a turning of the barrenness into fruitfulness and joy. Growth, you see. You may say, well, I don't feel to grow. I seem to grow worse. But, oh, poor soul, when Zion is to be increased, there is to be an enlarging the place of thy tents. You know, in business, when a business prospers, it so often has to be enlarged, doesn't it, to put it simply. And there are times when our souls, under the blessing of heaven, are enlarged. And then Zion is enlarged. I was looking back only recently of the times where the Dicker Chapel was enlarged because there was such prosperity, both in the congregation and two in the church. It's a wonderful time, you see. And this is what the Lord was setting before them here. Now, I don't know why we bring that before you, but may we lay that to heart, that we might have the desire we may yet see. You go back and look at some of the records of the 1841 and 1851 census, and you'll see how many attended our chapels. You know, in Staplehurst, which is not a very big chapel, but you know, there were over 400 attended on a Lord's Day. Well, there must be many who stood. And there was the greatest congregation there in the whole village, even greater than the Church of England. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. And this is what the Lord was to do. Midst all the barrenness there had been. And oh, what a blessed day it'd be, wouldn't it, if the Lord favoured us to die with it, both in our souls, in the Zion, and too in the nation. But then he shows further and speaks of this, but then he says this beautiful word, and I shall have to be brief, but he says, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Oh, you see, this is what the Lord was to these dear people. For the, firstly, their husband, to deal with all that concerned her. And then thy Redeemer, he that had purchased with his own heart's blood, the Holy One of Israel, is the Lord Jesus to you and to me, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. And then this beautiful word, you know, I never forgot dear Mr. Cornford preaching from it. It must be nearly 50 years ago. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Some of you may feel this morning forsaken by the Lord, and that's a very searching place. You know, it's solemn when men forsake us or our loved ones forsake us, but how solemn when the Lord forsakes us. And he often forsakes us because of our sin, because of our unbelief, because of our wanderings from him, our backslidings, and we feel forsaken. The hymn writer said, didn't he, I feel forsaken and forlorn. And oh, how searching that place is. Forsaken by the Lord. But this is where they'd come to. But what does he say to them? For a small moment have I forsaken. You may say, well, it's been weeks, it may be months, it may be years. But for a small moment. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? For a small moment. And why the Lord said it like that was because of this. Compared with eternity, it is but a small moment. And you know, the wicked will be forsaken by the Lord forever. For all eternity. The child of God and no times where the Lord forsakes them. Or they will. Well, there's two sides to this. Let's be very clear in it. Those that are favoured to feel the Lord's sweet and sacred presence, I mean feelingly and knowingly in their souls, will know the times when he forsakes them. Oh, they will. And that really troubled the sinner. They know both sides, you see. And if we've got a real religion, we shall know what it is when the Lord does forsake us. And it'll really search our hearts and cause us many errands to the throne of grace. But he says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. Why was it for a small moment? Because of his love to his dear bride, his dear church. But with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But then listen. But, what a beautiful but that is, isn't it? With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Everlasting kindness. What directed me to this text was two things, really. First, in trying to plead yesterday, the Lord would give me a word to bring before you. The Lord dropped these words into my heart, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. And you think of that sacred word, you know. But my kindness, the Lord speaking, may he speak that to each one of us here, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. And then the Lord seemed to confirm it, and so often the Lord has done over the years, confirmed a text to this poor preacher by a line of a hymn. And it drops in very sweetly. They that once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Shortly before, and I speak this with a very soft heart, shortly before my father passed into eternity, he was not able to go to the house of God, and several of the family went to see him on that Lord's Day evening. And they asked him if he would choose a hymn. And they sung several hymns. But he chose that, you know. That beautiful hymn with that line in it. They that once his kindness prove. Find it, everlasting love. Now, I want to come to this text, and why I name this in leading up to it is because of this. The faithfulness of God to these dear people. You see, he confirms his faithfulness to them so many times through this chapter. His everlasting love. And let me just remind you of it as we introduce the text. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Everlasting kindness. Many of us are favoured with the great kindness of our loved ones and the Lord's dear people. We would bless him for it. But oh, the kindness of the Lord to his people. And it's everlasting kindness. May that be of sweet comfort to you today. There may be those of you that are troubled by the temptations of Satan, him suggesting to you, oh, but you've known his kindness in providence. You'll never know it in grace. But listen, and then he says to you too, Satan does, oh, but that kindness is only for time. But you see, the Lord here sets it beautifully before the church of God, doesn't it? But with everlasting kindness You think of it this morning, everlasting kindness. Will I have mercy upon thee? It's personal, you say, upon thee. And our text says, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. And you know you can face Satan with that word, can't you? He may say, oh, but it's for somebody else. But he says, the Lord says it's for thee. And what you need is the application of that in your poor soul and mine. For thee. And I'll tell you what the effect, if I know anything about it, will be. It'll melt your poor heart, Lord. You'll say, Lord, why me? Such a wretch as me. They're favoured with this everlasting kindness. His faithfulness. But then, he confirms it even further to them, doesn't he? In two things. First of all, he says this, For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. You think how Noah and those favoured few were delivered by the great kindness, the everlasting kindness of the Lord, delivering them from the destruction of that great flood. And then the Lord promised here Noah, didn't he, that he would not flood the earth again. And he set before Noah, and we're favoured with it, I saw it only on Friday, the wonderful token the Lord gave to Noah, the bow set in the cloud. And you know, whenever you see that bow, you think of the faithfulness of God, that his kindness is still going to be given to his dear people, and he's faithful to what he has said. My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. But the second thing was what's in our text. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. You think, beloved friends, what the Lord has said here. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. They will. We can see it in two ways. First of all, we've seen where the earthquakes, God has sent them and the mountains have departed. And the hills being removed by the Lord sending earthquakes into the earth. He can bring them down in a moment. His faithfulness, you see. And then, of course, it speaks of the close of time when all the mountains shall be made plains. God, who's put them there, will remove them. He says the mountain shall depart. Look at the certainty of what the Lord says to them. And as sure as those mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, so sure shall my kindness not depart from thee. Wonderful certainty this is, isn't it? And may the Lord convey it into each of our souls. But I want to look just briefly at but my kindness, as this is really that was upon my heart. The Lord says, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. It seemed to come to me in this way, and I seek for grace to bring it before you. Let us look at it firstly concerning the Blessed Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Blessed Holy Spirit. You know, if you've got a real religion, and I have, that which is given by God, it must be a Trinitarian religion. Nothing else will get us to heaven. And I speak this with reverence and humility. First of all, look at the kindness of God the Father in giving his beloved Son. And it was a wonderful gift, you know. A gift to sinners. Well, could the Apostle Paul say, God, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his beloved Son. And how did God the Father give him? He gave him in much kindness to his dear people, everlasting kindness toward them. And then think of that beautiful word, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, the kindness of God the Father giving his beloved Son. May we ever consider that. And then, oh, the kindness of God the Father in choosing a people to seek him and to serve him. What does he say concerning them? This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. His kindness in choosing a people, chosen in Christ ere time began. Oh, choose him in return. But my kindness. And then think of the kindness of the beloved Son of God. How willing was Jesus to leave the realms of bliss and of heaven and come into this world. What do we read in this sacred prophecy? Here am I, send me. You know, none other would do. He must come. And how willing the Saviour was to come. His kindness, you see. Loving kindness. We read in the Psalms, don't we? And we sing it in that beautiful ninth hymn, you know, it's a very sacred hymn. You read it at your leisure. His loving kindness. Oh, how free. His loving kindness. Oh, how good. Oh, the loving kindness of the Lord. And then look at the kindness. How so shown in the dear Lord Jesus in suffering. Well, go through Isaiah 53. How he was despised, rejected of men. The great sufferings he endured of body and of soul. But my kindness, you know, really, everlasting kindness was written right through his sufferings and right through his death. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. And then Think of the kindness, the Saviour, and what a lesson there is in this to us. Well, there is to me, I'll leave the other with you. But you think of the kindness the Saviour showed to those while he was here upon the earth, even to his enemies. The kindness he showed. Though he was spit upon and scourged, though he was to endure all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. Everlasting kindness was in it all. Loving kindness was in it all. Even to his enemies. But far greater so to his dear people. You look how he spoke to the Pharisees. And then I think of those words upon the cross. When he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Oh, the kindness, you know, the very nature of God is kindness. It's man that has caused the wrath of God to come because of sin. But oh, his kindness, look how kindly he healed the sick. Look how kindly he restored the sight of the blind. His kindness, but my kindness, shall not depart from thee. And then, oh, how he laid down that precious life. The kindness he showed. How willing, we read, was Jesus to die. That we, poor sinners, might live. Willing to suffer. Kindness in it all, you see. But then, many sermons could be preached on the whole Trinity, but let us come to the blessed Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. The kindness of the Lord. In quickening sinners into life. It's one of the blessed offices of the Holy Ghost, you know, to quicken the dead into life. Go back to Ezekiel's day, where there was in that valley of dry bones. And what did the Lord say to them? When they came together bone to his bone and he put flesh upon them, sinews in them, and he said unto them, live. You know, if you got any life in your poor soul and mine, it's because of the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And why does the Lord quicken his people? Why did he quicken Saul of Tarsus into life? Because he loved them with an everlasting love. His kindness is toward them. And then think of the blessed Holy Spirit conveying the blessings of heaven down to sinners. His kindness in conveying the love of God, the love of Christ into sinners' hearts. And it's conveyed down by the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is. And look at the kindness of the Holy Spirit in revealing a precious Christ to sinners. There's a good prayer in that beautiful 399th hymn, I think it is. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. You know, when the Holy Spirit reveals a precious Christ as the one thing that's needful to a poor sinner, they see in it his everlasting kindness, his everlasting love. And it's the Holy Spirit that conveys down pardon into sinners' hearts. It's the Holy Spirit's blessed work to apply that precious blood, and I speak it with much reverence, of Jesus to the sinner's heart. Do you feel the need of it? Do you want to feel that kindness of his precious blood? And then the blessed Holy Spirit conveys that sweet kindness of comfort to those that are sorrowing and weeping. You look in John's Gospel where Jesus told the disciples that he was going to leave them and he must suffer, bleed and die. Oh, how he said to them that he would send the blessed Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, into their souls. And it is he that conveys that comfort down, you see. And do you feel the need it today? The Church of God here did. They needed that heavenly comfort. And the Holy Spirit can convey it into your poor soul and mine. And when he does, you know it's real comfort. One of the offices of a God-sent minister is to comfort God's people. Think of Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she shall receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. And oh, that comfort that he conveys. But I must leave it because of the time I had hoped, perhaps we'll look at it later, in the experiences of God's people. They prove this kindness. Well, if nothing this morning, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply these precious words to us. For the mountain shall depart. It's what the Lord has said, it's not my word. And the hills be removed, but my kindness, oh, may the Holy Spirit apply that to us this morning. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. You may say, what me, such a poor, wretched sinner, but my kindness. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Well, may the blessed Holy Spirit come over the poverty of the poor preaching and apply this precious word to us, and the Lord will have all the glory. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £720, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Field will address the prayer meeting tomorrow evening, Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 834. While heavenly hosts their anthems sing, in realms above the sky, let worms of earth their tribute bring, and Lord, the Lord Most High. Hymn number 834.
you, Lord, to come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the bind. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Who help us through the rest of the day. And be with us, we pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.